This is Even Flowers Have Their Dangers, written by Artax Lives and read by Flower Parish. This is a Stranger Things fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Steve Harrington / Eddie Munson. This is part one of the No One is Alone series. Abridged summary. Eddie Munson hates Steve Harrington. He loves this fluffy dog that keeps showing up at his house, though. Chapter 1. Strider. Henderson, why, pray tell, is your douchebag babysitter getting out of his douchemobile and coming this way? Fucking Harrington, man. Eddie feels conflicted every time the kids even say his name. His heartbeat always goes a little haywire, too, and he isn't sure if it's because his flight response always activates around the guy, or because Harrington is so fucking hot it's unreal. Considering that Eddie has a type, and that type is dangerous and pretty, it's probably both. Izzy? Dustin looks over his shoulder, grinning his goofy grin. Hey, Steve! The kid's hand lifts in a wave as Steve makes his way toward them. Henderson, get in the car with the other gremlins. I want to have a word with your dragon master. Steve smiles fondly, nudging the kid toward his waiting car. Guy just screams preppy. Collar popped, jeans so damn tight that Eddie's getting a sympathy wedgie. No boxer line on his thigh, which means that Harrington is a brief guy. Not that Eddie is thinking about his underwear, it's just an observation. Dungeon Master Steve, I swear you're getting it wrong on purpose, Dustin sighs, rolling his eyes but starting toward the car anyway. Yeah, whatever, Steve calls back over his shoulder, before turning to Eddie, who hopes he wasn't caught staring. Eddie's heartbeat does something funny before he gets a handle on himself and leans into his usual false bravado, swinging away from the auditorium door and throwing his arms out in a full extension before lowering his top half into a bow. To what do I owe this illustrious visit, Your Royal Highness? Harrington looks uncomfortable now, the ease that he'd approached with gone, his shoulders hunched up, face looking pained as he tucks his hands into his pockets, well, tries to. There's not a lot of room in those 501s. Cut it out. I just wanted to tell you not to leave the kids here alone if you guys get out early. Nothing that you have to do is important enough to leave them in the dark without protection. His voice is clipped, jaw set, and Eddie realizes that he's annoyed, maybe even angry. What the fuck is that about? He's all chummy when Henderson is watching, but now that the kid's gone, he slides back into asshole mode. Eddie knew it. He knew the kids couldn't possibly be getting the real Steve Harrington if they actually thought he was a good guy. Wonder why he was putting on an act, though. Was he trying to get Nancy Wheeler back through her brother? Whatever. Maybe I didn't hear you right, Eddie says with a hard edge, all flamboyance dropped. You're telling me, not asking me. Fuck that. Who the fuck is this prep to tell him that he needs to watch over a bunch of high school kids? They're like 14 and 15. Eddie was selling drugs at 14. Some kids have jobs. They walk home. Not all of us were born with a silver spoon and a beamer. Where the fuck does Harrington think they live that it's too dangerous for three teenage boys to stand outside for 5 fucking minutes? Yeah, Harrington snaps. I'm telling you. Don't leave them outside without an adult. Fuck you, Harrington. I'm not their babysitter. They were fine. If you're that worried, you should be here earlier. I had shit to do. He didn't, not really. He just had a shit day, shit week really, and wanted to go home and smoke a joint. He should have waited. He knew he should have, but Harrington calling him out on it just pisses him off. Seriously, Munson? Steve scoffs, shaking his head. I knew you'd be a dick. You know their best friend is Will Byers, right? Fuck. Eddie did not know that. Just that Mike's best friend Will lived in California. Not that it was the Byers kid who went missing years ago. Damn. Eddie feels even worse now, but fuck if he's telling Harrington that. Steve's voice softens, though. Just please, if you know it's going to be an early night, let the kids know so they can radio me to be here earlier. I'm asking, okay? radio you, like you guys have walkie-talkies or something. Were they for real? What is this cloak and dagger? Across the parking lot, Steve's horn blares and they both look up to see Mike leaning over the driver's seat to press on it. Keep your fucking shirt on, Steve yells, then grumbles under his breath. Fucking Wheeler. Eddie should just agree and be done with it. He's not gonna leave them alone after learning about Byers anyway, but damn if Harrington and his pompous attitude doesn't get under his skin. Instead, he says flippantly, how about the king worries about his own court and leaves me the fuck out of it, yeah? He doesn't wait around to see Steve's reaction, just skips over to his van and climbs in. He's got her started and is pulling out of the parking lot before he glances back at Harrington. It looks like Steve is already lecturing the kids about something. Eddie just shakes his head and drives off, leaving them to it. As he's pulling up to the trailer an hour later with a little more cash and a little less weed, Eddie almost expects to find a fancy rich boy car waiting for him. He doesn't. He's going to pretend that he's disappointed about that because he wanted to argue with Harrington, not for any other reason. What he does find, though, is a big motherfucking dog. It's just sitting next to the trailer steps, and Eddie's seen Cujo, so fuck if he's getting out of the safety of this metal box. Hell no, he can wait. After 5 minutes of waiting, they're still in a standoff, and Eddie's thinking about starting his van and just leaving to sleep someplace else. What? He's a coward, and that dog and Cujo put him off petting dogs for weeks afterward. No way is he getting out, alone, in the fucking dark, to that behemoth of a dog. No one would even come if he screamed. This is a trailer park. Ignoring screams is part of the lease agreement. Just as he puts his keys back in the ignition, the dog tilts his head to the side, tongue lolling out for a few breaths, before it gets up and trots over to Eddie's driver's side door. This close, it's not quite as big as he thought, but it's still the biggest dog he's ever seen. Must be some kind of husky mix or something. He doesn't know shit about dogs, but it looks like a really fluffy sled dog. Poofy tail and everything. It tilts its head again, and Eddie rolls his window down slowly. Its ears perk up, and it looks happy, which is maybe a thing dogs do? He wouldn't know, honestly. He's never had a dog. Eddie slides one hand out, curled into a fist because he doesn't want to lose a finger to Cujo here. He needs those fingers for various reasons, like guitar playing, dice rolling, and other non-sexual things. The dog leans in, sniffs the hand, bumps it with his cold, wet nose, and then nuzzles it so Eddie's knuckles graze into the soft gray fur on his forehead. Eddie's barely breathing, his heart is racing, and his legs are all clenched like he would run if he wasn't sitting in his car. Extending his trembling fingers, he scratches the top of the dog's head. The dog, swear to God, sighs. "Hey there, big boy, what you doing?" Eddie whispers softly, opening his door to step out. The dog shuffles back just enough for Eddie to slide out from behind the door. His fur is soft and silky between Eddie's fingers. "Oh, look at you, so pretty. You know you are too, don't you?" The dog seems to preen with the praise, so Eddie lays it on thicker. "Yeah, you do. What are you doing out here? No collar, but you must belong to someone. You're too pretty to be running wild in Hawkins." After a few more runs with his hand through the fur on its back, Eddie reaches back into the van, rolls the window back up, and grabs his bag. He can't stay out here all night, so he heads toward the front door. The dog follows. "Uncle Wayne's gonna kill me," Eddie sighs, knowing he's a sucker and he's 100% going to let this dog into the trailer. Once he's got the door open, he expects to be barreled past, but the dog is just standing on the steps, staring up at Eddie, almost like he's waiting for an invite. He can't be, though, unless maybe he's well-trained. "Well, are you coming in?" Eddie asks. Trotting past him with his tongue hanging out, the dog makes a beeline for the couch. Before he can get up on it, though, he starts sniffing everything. The couch, the floor, the magazine Eddie left on the couch. Then he heads into the kitchen, sniffing the edge of the counter and down the hallway. He doesn't even stop at the trash or the bathroom or Wayne's closet full of work clothes. He just heads straight for Eddie's bedroom. Eddie follows him, still giving the big dog enough space to not feel crowded, but keeping an eye on him. If he pees somewhere, Eddie's gonna be pissed. The dog shoves the door open, snuffling along the floor. Well, the debris on the floor. Eddie's not the cleanest. It's not dirty, it's just messy. He doesn't always put things away, and sometimes, all the time, he throws his clothes on the floor. The dog sniffs through his dirty clothes, pokes into his closet, and then heads toward the bed, almost shoving his whole head under the bed as he sniffs at whatever he finds there. Just shoes, textbooks that Eddie rarely opens, a plethora of lost items that Eddie never goes to look for. It's really too late when he realizes where the dog is headed next, but he does try to stop it from happening. There's a small trash can between the shelf and his bed. It's for nocturnal activity cleanup. What? It's his room. He can do what he wants. He jumps to shoo the dog away because that's just gross, but the dog is already pulling away, shaking its head and huffing out its nose like it's trying to get the smell out. He sneezes twice and then glares up at Eddie accusingly. Rude. Hey, no one asked you to snoop around, Eddie exclaims, face going red for reasons he doesn't really understand. It's just a dog. He swears the dog fucking laughs. It's like a couple little chuffs in a row. Like a chortle. Then it's pushing past him and going back out to the living room to lay in front of the couch with a huff. This is probably the strangest encounter he's ever had. Listen, you need a name and I need some dinner. Let's workshop it. He pulls out the jar of mayo, lunch meat, generic brand cheese slices. Everyone knows the Kraft ones are better, but that's too rich for Munson blood. And grabs the loaf of bread off the top of the fridge. As he starts to putting together a sandwich for himself, he starts listing off names. If we go X-Men, Beast is too on the nose. Colossus is pretty good, though. Thor is good, too, if we're going Avengers. His sandwich made, some extra lunch meat for the dog on the side, Eddie grabs a beer and heads over to the couch and settles in. The dog sits up, eyes closing as Eddie scratches behind one ear. He's just so gentle for a big dog. What about... Hey, how do you feel about Strider? He's from a book, Lord of the Rings, best trilogy of all time. And he's kind of a stray, but also not. I like it. Kind of scary, kind of scruffy, but ultimately a good guy. It suits you. The dog doesn't answer. Because he's a dog. When Eddie offers the dog a slice of turkey, he takes it almost daintily. Taking a bite of his own sandwich, Eddie alternates between scritching along the dog's thick silky fur and giving him small pieces of meat. When they're both done eating, Eddie turns to leave the plate on the side table and feels the dog slowly creep up onto the couch. He snorts. Sneaky bastard. Oh well, what Wayne doesn't know. Towing his shoes off, Eddie slips his jacket off and tosses it on the nearby chair. There's not enough room on this couch for him and the giant dog, but they make it work. The dog is half on Eddie, half on the couch, his massive head resting on Eddie's chest as Eddie continues to work his fingers down the dog's back with one hand. You gotta belong to someone, big guy. You're just too sweet to be all alone. Wayne's not gonna let me keep you forever, but maybe we can put up some posters and find your family. Eddie yawns so wide his jaw cracks. He mumbles about going to sleep in his own bed, but doesn't move, falling asleep under the furry blanket of Strider. It can't be more than a few hours later when Eddie is woken up by a large tongue slopping across his face. He sputters, breathing in dog breath unintentionally. Gross, stop. He rolls over toward the back of the couch, burying his face in the cushions. There's a whine and then a wet nose in his ear. Eddie yelps, flailing and sitting up to wipe dog slobber off his ear. Do you need to go out? The dog hops around by the door, so Eddie drags the sleep off his face with one hand and opens the trailer door. Strider shoots off. Not to the woods or the dead grass around them to do his business. No. He runs down the road and out of the trailer park, following it back up to the main road before he hangs a left, and Eddie loses track of him. Oh. It's probably for the best, but Eddie's more than a little sad now. It was nice to have someone to talk to. Maybe he'll put a water dish out tomorrow, just in case. Pulling the trailer door shut, he locks it, grabs his stuff, and heads to his bedroom to climb into bed. Just before he slides back into sleep, he remembers Harrington bitching him out after the session. Fuck that guy. Wayne's been gone, off to work, for less than 10 minutes when there's a scratch at the trailer door. Luckily, Eddie is trying desperately to finish his English assignment so he doesn't have music on and can actually hear it. Because this is his fucking year, and he's graduating, even if he has to kill someone to do it, damn it. When he opens the door, Strider is sitting at the bottom of the steps, just as big and fluffy as Eddie remembered. In the fading sunlight, his fur is lighter than Eddie thought. Lots of white on his stomach, chest, and cheeks. The rest is light gray. Gotta be a husky. Looks like that dog on the cover of Call of the Wild that they'd had to read back in middle school. The dog bounds up the steps, tongue hanging out, as soon as Eddie motions him in. "I've got homework to finish, then we can put in a movie and eat some chow," he tells the dog, as he slides back into the small table and picks up his pencil. Strider wanders around, sniffing like he did the first night, but just where Eddie can see him. He doesn't go into Eddie's room this time. After he's cased the joint, Strider comes back and sits next to Eddie's leg, letting his weight rest against him. Eddie absentmindedly begins to pet his head and ears. "I know what you're thinking," Eddie starts. The dog lifts his head and tilts it curiously, like he actually understands what Eddie is saying. "I do. You think I should be more into this book, and this essay shouldn't be such a fucking chore." He taps his pencil against the cover of The Time Machine by H.G. Wells, where it sits on the little two-person Formica table. It almost looks like the dog glances at the spine to see the title, but his eyes are back on Eddie a moment later, so he was probably just following the pencil. See, it's science fiction, which isn't fantasy, but it's only a skip away, and I love science fiction as much as the next nerd. Strider makes a low sound in his throat that Eddie would swear sounds like a hum. "But I really don't like people telling me what to read. Takes the fun out." Eddie pauses, tapping on the cover a few more times. "I think Mr. B is just taking pity on me after 3 years in his senior English and assigning me books he thinks I might like so I can graduate and get the fuck out of his class." Eddie leans down, almost nose to nose with the dog, whispers, "Joke's on him. I already read this one." The dog's eyes meet Eddie's and they crinkle around the edges like he's smiling. Eddie grins back. He goes back to the essay, quickly penciling in two more sentences before shoving the loose sheets into his notebook and stuffing it into his threadbare backpack that he's had since the first year he moved in with Wayne. "All right, gorgeous. How do you feel about breakfast for dinner? It's the one meal that I can make without threat of screwing it up." When the dog just stares at him, Eddie nods and starts pulling stuff out of the fridge. "I think you can have eggs, and I've heard people put medicine and cheese for dogs, so that's safe too. I've got some ham left over from dinner with Wayne night before last. We'll do some fried potatoes. Can you have bell peppers and onions?" Through it all, the dog just tilts his head and watches as Eddie starts washing potatoes and cutting them small so they cook faster. "We need some cooking music, don't you think?" He wipes his hands on the towel hanging from the silverware drawer and goes over to the little boombox that Wayne lets him keep in the living room. It's got a little stack of tapes next to it. He makes a face. "I could grab some real music, but I don't want to hurt your ears." He looks back at Strider, who's followed him over to the boombox and is staring at him like Eddie's a puzzle with no answer. "I think you're gonna like this." He grins at the dog, popping the cassette in and pushing down on the play button. The rich, rough gravel of Johnny Cash pours out of the speakers like thick molasses, and the dog's ears both seem to straighten and open toward the boombox. Eddie turns Strider toward him, cupping his jaws on both sides and mashing his forehead against the dog's, nuzzling into him, singing about a boy named Sue. When he dances into the kitchen, the dog follows, staring at Eddie in that almost human way again. Eddie goes back to cutting up potatoes, occasionally tossing a cube of potato toward the dog, who catches it in the air. This song is actually written by a poet, a children's author, Shel Silverstein. My mom used to check out his books from the library for me until my dad threw a bunch out, and we couldn't afford the fees to pay them off. A Giraffe and a Half, The Giving Tree, and this collection of poems called Where the Sidewalk Ends. The potatoes are all in the pan now, and Eddie's cutting bell pepper into chunks. You probably shouldn't have bell pepper. That seems risky. Humming along as the song winds down, Eddie says, "Wait, maybe he was a songwriter who also wrote children's books? Well, either way, this guy wrote all these neat hippie poems and this book about a tree that gives everything it can to its kid until it has nothing left, and honestly, it's super sad, but it's all about sacrificing shit for your kid, and it's ironic that my mom read me it so many times and it makes me think of her. But she couldn't give up my dad for me." Eddie sets the knife down on the cutting board, chewing on his bottom lip, thinking about a tree giving up her trunk for a random kid that used to play in her branches and eat apples, of his mother driving away without looking back as she left him on Wayne's doorstep with nothing but a trash bag full of clothes he'd mostly grown out of already. There's a solid weight against his leg, and Eddie looks down to find Strider pressed against it, head tilted back to look up at Eddie. Probably wonders why he's slacking on the treats, but damn if the contact doesn't make Eddie feel better. He runs his hand down the underside of the dog's jaw and along his neck, pressing the dog into his side for just a moment. Yeah, sob story, right? Everyone's got one. He pets Strider again before pushing the peppers and onions into the pan alongside the potatoes. Well, everyone except Steve Silver Spoon Harrington. Moving over to the sink, Eddie puts the knife and the cutting board in, washing his hands so he can shred some cheese. Strider hasn't moved, but is watching him with his head tilted again. What's that? You want to know about Harrington? Oh, Strider, these are dangerous waters. He's infuriating. He was a total jock bully back when he was in high school. Eddie starts shredding the cheese a little aggressively. Such an asshole. Then he got knocked off his throne by this bigger asshole, Billy Hargrove. Eddie glances back at Strider. That fucker died. Seems shady, a mall fire, but no one's talking about why he was at the mall so late, and why 30 other people who have no connection to each other were all there and died too, apparently. Strider comes closer again, laying down in front of the sink this time. Yeah, weird shit, man. Anyway, Harrington. I can't figure out why all the kids in my club like him so much. Like, they say he's their hero. Harrington, a hero. Whatever, man. I mean, he looks like a hero, don't get me wrong. Eddie points a block of cheese at Strider. He's beautiful in that way that makes you just want to punch him in the face. Strider's head pops up, tilts, and does that chuffing noise again. Don't look at me like that. You haven't seen him. Putting the cheese block back in its Tupperware bowl, Eddie grumbles, "It's obscene." Tossing the cheese bowl into the fridge, Eddie pulls out the egg carton and starts cracking them into a bowl. You should come to Hellfire with me, then you'd see him and you'd know what I mean. That guy has lived a perfectly charmed life. Eddie can feel himself getting wound up, but he's on a roll. Parents probably dote on him, girls followed his preppy feet, nice car, great hair, money in his pockets. I bet someone makes his meals, probably has a chef and a house cleaner. Surprised he doesn't have a chauffeur. Glancing over to see if Strider agrees with him, he sees that the dog has his head between his paws, his eyes look sad, and his ears look droopy. Damn. Probably Eddie's angry tone that's affecting him. In a gentler tone, he asks, "You think I'm being too harsh?" He stirs the potatoes to make sure they don't stick, and then plops himself down on the floor in front of Strider. "Yeah, you're right. I can be a little bitter sometimes. He's probably not that bad. I mean, Henderson adores him. Lucas thinks he's the second coming, and even Mike fucking Wheeler, who has the pissiest attitude of any kid I've ever seen that isn't a jock, would fight me if I said shit about Harrington." Sighing, he rubs the dog's head and ears, scratching under one as Strider tilts to allow access to the underside. His tail starts thumping too. "All right, you're right. No more bagging on Harrington." When he stands up, he notices a little pile of the raw potatoes he'd thrown to the dog. Guess he's not a potato fan. Weird. He's seen the dog eat fries before. Maybe they don't like them raw. Scooping them up, he tosses them in the trash. Once everything is ready, he plates just a little bit of the potatoes without the peppers and onions, and scrambled eggs with cheese and ham on a plate for Strider. Does his own the same, except he gets more potatoes and the peppers and onions. Then takes both to the living room, putting Strider's on the floor and his own on the little side table. He eats almost as fast as the dog, so they do it quickly and silently. Strider only eats the eggs and ham. Shrugging, Eddie stacks their plates and takes them to the sink. When he returns, the dog is already up on the couch, looking at him expectantly. "All right, we can sleep here again, but only because I haven't slept that good in years." He grabs himself a pillow this time, though, and changes into a pair of cut-off sweatshorts. When he stretches out on the couch, Strider inches over, snuffling Eddie's bare legs before wedging himself in between Eddie and the back of the couch. This time, the dog's head is resting on his belly. Eddie pets him absently. "You should still come to Hellfire. The kids would love it, and maybe you could eat Harrington for me, or just scare the piss out of him." Strider chuffs, and Eddie flinches at the burst of air on his stomach, letting out a giggle that would be embarrassing if there was anyone around to hear it. "Watch it," he laughs, shoving his hand under the dog's chin to protect his exposed skin from warm breath. There's another chuff, and then Strider is nuzzling in against his side, clearly getting ready to sleep. Eddie does the same, stroking the dog's head, tracing the line of bones along his eye and nose, scratching along his neck and down his back, as the weight of him becomes heavy with sleep. Eddie follows him almost immediately. It's the middle of the night again when Strider wakes him to leave. The same thing happens when Eddie opens the door. The dog runs along the road until he's out of sight. Shaking his head, Eddie turns off the lights, locks the door, and goes to climb into bed. Maybe he's, like, sharing custody of the dog. Like he's sharing custody of those kids with Harrington. Ugh, Harrington. Asshole. Beautiful, but still an asshole. The dog shows up on and off at the trailer. Sometimes he's waiting when Eddie gets home. Sometimes he shows up a few minutes after Wayne leaves. If he didn't think it sounded crazy, Eddie would say the dog was waiting for Wayne to leave before scratching the door. But that's crazy. And he leaves in the middle of the night every time like he's got some kind of internal clock. It always feels like they're having a conversation, too. Not just Eddie talking to a dog. Strider is really good at conveying emotions, showing interest. Eddie can even tell when Strider wants him to elaborate about something. And that feels not wrong, just weird. But it doesn't get really weird until Dungeons & Dragons night rolls around again. Eddie doesn't leave school on those days. He usually makes a few drug deals right after school, but then heads over to the theater department to set up. He puts the tables out, throws a couple yards of fabric over them, puts out the candles and candlesticks that they never light because he got told off years ago for fire hazards, opens up the folding chairs, and drags over his throne. He creates ambiance because it matters. They could run campaigns in the cold, boring cafeteria, but why would they? Why would he do that when he can set a scene? He's just moving his throne when he hears a bark. No way. Jogging over, he yanks the door open and finds Strider wagging his fluffy tail, tongue lolling out. He takes a few prancing steps like he wants Eddie to know he found him. Eddie laughs. This is crazy. How the fuck did this dog know he wouldn't be home? Stepping back, Eddie waves him in. The dog makes a beeline for the table, nosing along the edge, nosing the chairs, placing his front paws in the throne's seat pad and pushing himself up to look back at Eddie. He barks, tail knocking over the figurines on the table behind him. Get down, you monster! You'll behave tonight or no snacks for you later, Eddie admonishes. Like the dog isn't always a perfect gentleman. But Strider gets down, heading over to the rack of costumes and the shelves of props that the theater kids never seem to have the time to put away. By this point, Eddie trusts that he won't eat anything or make a mess, so he lets the dog do his thing and finishes setting up his own props, setting his prized Dungeon Master, Don't You Dare Touch This, notebook to one side, and hiding all of his monsters behind his screen. Gareth and Jeff come in first like usual, too busy arguing to notice the huge dog laying next to Eddie's throne. After a few minutes, Dustin, Mike, and Lucas come in together. Lucas is bouncing on the balls of his feet, miming an explosion of some kind, and Dustin is shaking his head in disbelief. Eddie's watching them to see how long it takes them to notice the dog that neither Jeff nor Gareth has commented on yet. What the fuck? Mike says, pushing past Dustin and Lucas and heading toward the dog with enough speed that Eddie almost jumps between them. He's not sure if he'd be protecting the kid or the dog, though. Why is he here? Dustin points at Strider, looking a little pissed off. All three boys are looking from Eddie to the dog and back again. He's my guest. This is Strider. Is there a problem? Eddie's actually surprised at how irritated the boys seem. You'd think they'd never seen a dog before. Admittedly, they probably haven't seen one this big before. You know that's a wolf, right? Mike says, one eyebrow raised, hands on his hips in a way that reminds Eddie of Steve Harrington. He snorts. It's a fucking dog, man. No, it's not, Dustin corrects. And we would know since we know this wolf. Strider pushes past Eddie to brush up against Dustin, who rubs his hands down the dog's, wolf's, back. See his tail? How it lays flat and doesn't curl up on itself? Wolf. A husky, which looks very close to a wolf, has a tail that curls. And see how sleek he is, not bulky. Dogs are dense with a thicker body, but wolves have a rounder face. Dustin points the dog's, wolf's, face at Eddie, using his hands to show the circle shape. Strider lets himself be handled. But the easy kicker, pun intended, is that their middle toe, he waves Eddie forward and leans down to touch Strider's middle toe on his paw, is longer than the others. It's what you look for in footprints. Plus, their paws are bigger, but that's hard to tell without a dog around for comparison. Eddie sits back on his haunches as he looks at all the features Dustin just pointed out. Once he's looking at those, he can see how easy it is to get them mixed up, especially with how big the fluff is on the wolf, making him look thicker than he actually is. Plus, there's the teeth, sharper and stronger than a dog because they only eat meat, Mike says, pulling Strider's lip up to flash the teeth that Eddie has already noticed. Strider huffs, pulling his face out of Mike's hands to bump his head against the kid. He licks the kid's hand after Mike leans down to nuzzle his face against the dog. Wolf. Strider tucks his nose against Mike's neck for a moment, almost breathing him in. Lucas and Dustin both repeat the action. Eddie is so confused. Wait, hold on here. How do you guys know this wolf? And why is it hanging around with me if it's with you guys? Eddie thinks, but doesn't ask. He's family, Dustin says with a grin. What did you say you named him? Strider, Eddie answers, still confused. All three of the boys grin, and one of them says, Aragorn in disguise. It fits. Behind Eddie, Gareth and Jeff have wandered over. Where'd you get the stray? Gareth asks. Strider makes a disgruntled sound. He's not a stray, Lucas defends. Look, it's complicated, but he's not a stray. Eddie feels a little betrayed. He thought maybe the dog had found a home with him, but it sounds like the dog, Wolf, has found a few homes. There's more than a bit of irritation leaking into his voice as he snaps, Whatever, let's get the session started. When Strider chooses to lay next to Eddie's throne as their game starts, he doesn't gloat. He feels high about it, but he doesn't gloat. He grins, though, because it feels like he's won something. When Eddie leaps up onto the seat of his throne and leans over his screen for dramatic effect, the wolf jumps up, ears alert and paws prancing. Eddie chuckles, scratching his head and cooing that he's just trying to scare his players. The three freshmen exchange looks that Eddie won't even bother trying to decipher. Just as the players roll initiative on a battle, Strider seems to lose interest in the goings-on and trots over to a prop couch against the far wall. He climbs up, noses around, and then flops down, sighing as dramatically as any lead actor ever has when they've laid on that couch. A few hours later, as the session is coming to an end, Dustin announces loudly, I should radio Steve that we're almost done. Strider jumps off the couch at the sound of Dustin's voice and heads over to the door, where Lucas runs over to let him out. Eddie's a little sad about it. He'd really wanted to see if Harrington was afraid of him. But also, he kind of thought his buddy would be going home with him tonight. They had a nice routine going. You don't have to radio Harrington. I'll stick around if he's not here yet. Eddie thinks about apologizing for last time, but then he remembers Harrington reading him the riot act and decides against it. They still haven't mentioned Byers, and he's not going to bring it up. It's another 15 minutes when they're finished and cleaned up, but Harrington is waiting outside near the stage door, tapping his foot impatiently. His hair is messy for once, and he looks nervous for some strange reason. Munson, he says, inclining his head with a small smile as he claps Dustin on the shoulder. Lucas and Mike both throw their arms around him and squeeze before running off to the car. It's weird, more like little brothers than babysitting charges. Eddie grabs the edges of his jean vest and leather jacket, throwing his chest out a bit and peacocking, Steve Harrington! What a fine night to grace the peasants with His Majesty's presence. The light kind of dies in Steve's eyes, and Eddie's heart does a little twist. Like he feels guilty, but Steve's the one who took up the mantle of king. It's not Eddie's fault if he doesn't like it. Yeah, thanks for taking care of my pack of wild animals. His hands get shoved into the pockets of his preppy members-only jacket, and he ducks away, heading quickly to the car. With the door open, Steve turns back to Eddie, his head tilted to the side, a sad smile on his dopey face. Before Eddie can react, Steve slides into the driver's seat and heads out of the parking lot. Strider doesn't come back that night, or the next, or the next. End of chapter 1.